Welcome back. We are now returning to item number four. Which is the 2011 Annual General Meeting of the Public School Boards Association of Alberta. I will call upon Trustee Shipka, the PSBC alternate, to introduce the report and move the recommendation. Trustee Shipka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to introduce the report and move the recommendation, excluding item F. I do have some concerns with that item. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Trustee Shipka. Well, you'll have an opportunity to express those concerns in debate. With that, I would ask if there are any trustee comments or questions to the recommendation. Trustee Ripley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I have a question about the Universal Standards Trust Fund idea. And I see that basically we will have a chance at the PSBAA AGM to ask questions of the Financial Review Committee at that time. And I guess I'm unclear as to, I see one of the questions on page attachment six says, is there a need for a Universal Standards Trust Fund and whether or not the administration would have any feedback for the board going into that question and answer session about the advisability of such a trust fund, what it would be used for, what sort of arbitration would be levied against other boards that, you know, could impact us, for example. Do we have any sense of that, or?
Mr. Superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the question. We would certainly, between now and the date of the meeting, review and provide some questions, clarifying questions for the board to consider in that discussion, or when that item is discussed at the Public School Boards Association meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Superintendent. Trustee Ripley.
So that we would have, as board members, have a good sense of what questions we should be asking, so that if they go ahead and if they recommend that they set up a fund, we will have a better idea of whether or not Edmonton Public wishes to vote for that in the future. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Trustee Ripley. Trustee Shipka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to propose that when we vote on this, we vote on items A to E and leave item F separately. Can I make that motion, Mr. Chair?
I'm not clear on what you want to delete consideration of item F.
Sure, that, or divide, I guess, would be a better term.
So vote, your amendment would be to vote on all portions of the recommendation with the exception of item F under recommendation number one, and you would vote, you're moving to consider that separately, am I correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
So we have an amendment before the floor to sever item F from recommendation number one, and that all of the vote for the recommendation will include all other portions of the recommendation. Opening the floor for trustee comments or questions. Would you like to begin debate in support of your amendment, Trustee Shipka?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think.
Trustee Smith.
Could the Secretary clarify whether a motion to divide is debatable?
All right. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Chair, when a member believes that they cannot support the whole recommendation without dividing the question, it's in order and it's simply usually accepted as to divide the question. And I believe Trustee Shipka moved items 1A to E. Did not move item F at this time.
All right. So that request is granted. That is severed. And we will deal with item F after we deal with the remainder of the motion. So the floor is still open for trustee comments or questions on the motion, the recommendation other than item F. Trustee Spencer, were you in the queue?
Sure. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just a comment on the rest of the motion aside from item F, and that is, having served as the PSBA rep last year, I believe that the budget that is coming forward is a good compromise in terms of reducing expenditures to compensate for the loss of some membership fees, while at the same time having a sufficient increase in fees to allow the organization to remain effective. So I certainly support the budget that's coming forward for the association. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Spencer. Further comments or questions? Seeing none, calling the vote on the recommendation before us, with item F being set aside. All those in favor, please signify. And that is carried unanimously. Returning to consideration of item F, opening the floor to comments or questions on recommendation item F and recommendation number one. Trustee Shipka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that item F be left to the discretion of the public school trustees in attendance at the AGM of PSBAA, and a number of reasons. One is that I think, from what I read, it's unconvincing that we need to establish, we will be essentially paying fees into a universal standards trust fund to allegedly promote public education in Alberta. It seems very big. How much accountability is that directly to members, what we're spending? And I note that the financial statements reveal we spent $34,000 last year on the Aspen View legal challenge. We've spent thousands of dollars on other legal challenges previous years, and for something I question the value for Edmonton Public School Boards, the value we gained from that. So I'm very dubious about supporting this Standards Trust Fund, and hence we'd like to suggest that that be left to the discretion of our members at the AGM. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We have an amendment before the board to leave item F to the discretion of the board, trustees attending, rather, the PSBAA annual general meeting. Comments or questions to the amendment? I see movement. Trustee Ripley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if recommendation number two actually already gives our rep, in consultation with the rest of other trustees who will be there, that option to respond. We think we're going to approve the fee schedule, but if something pops up and you know, in our best judgment at that time, Trustee Heather McKenzie would have the right to change the board's vote at that point, and or yourself if you were to be there as the alternate. Am I correct in my understanding? I guess that's the question.
I will ask the board secretary to comment on that, Madam Secretary.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The part one of the first motion is to try to ascertain the board's overall direction. So if the board were to vote on item 1F and it were defeated, that would be giving guidance to the board's representative that the board doesn't support this particular item. But based on the conversation at the AGM, if there is some argument made that may sway the deciding factor on that, then the rep would have the option to change the vote, and vice versa.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Trustee Ripley.
So thank you very much. So, Trustee Shipka, I think that the Trustee McKenzie or yourself already has the option to to not support the exploring. I note that it's just exploring further the establishment of the Universal Standards Trust Fund, and I guess I would speak in favor of that idea of exploring to, because I think you're right, there's a vagueness about it, and so what's it all about? But obviously somebody thinks there might be a need, there's a reason for this. I'd like to understand more fully before I would vote yes or no about it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Trustee Ripley. Anything further? Seeing no trustees in the queue, Trustee Shipka, did you want to close on your amendment?
I think when we voted on items A to E, it's saying that the board countenances these first five items, and our rep would be expected to vote in favor of that, barring any unusual information that the board previously did not possess. I iterate that item F, I think if we simply leave that's very open to the discretion, then the Trustee McKenzie knows that the board does not endorse or oppose that, and that item will simply be decided already, explored or open to, and voted based on the members present at that meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Trustee Shipka. Seeing no further comments or questions from my colleagues, I will call the vote on the amendment. All those in favor, please signify. And that is Trustee Johnner, Trustee Shipka, Trustee Spencer, Trustee Colburn, Trustee Hoffman, Trustee Cleary. All those opposed, Trustee Ripley. That amendment is carried. And that disposes of item number four. Moving on to items. Excuse me, I was my, okay. So we have a second recommendation before us. Comments or questions on recommendation number two? Trustee Spencer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is obviously a possibility that Trustee McKenzie may not be able to attend this meeting. I am wondering if it would be wise to specifically mention that we are designating Trustee McKenzie, or in her absence, Trustee Shipka, to vote on behalf of the board in any motions.
I'll regard that as an open-ended question rather than a motion for the time being, Trustee Spencer. It would be my view that having appointed an alternate, that individual automatically moves into the position of being the board's representative, and a motion to that effect would not be necessary. Madam Secretary, would my interpretation be correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Would that satisfy the direction you were seeking, Trustee Spencer?
It does.
Thank you. So, further comments on recommendation number two? Seeing none, calling the vote on recommendation number two. All those in favor? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item seven and eight. Item seven, Student Advisory Committee, which is a response to trustee request number 107. Item eight, new schools required to meet anticipated student enrollment in new neighborhoods, which is a response to trustee request number 116. In accordance with our change practice, we will deal with these two reports as an omnibus motion. And so I would ask someone in an omnibus format to move that these reports be received for information. Trustee Spencer, would you so move?
I would be happy with that, thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Spencer. Are there any other trustee comments or questions with respect to either of these reports? Trustee Cleary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was happy to thank the staff in preparing the information report on report number seven about working with best practices for working with student advisory. It did strike me that the current situation in the province of Ontario is they are doing some really good work using student voice. And I know in the election, they have a very strong component to that, which involves students, which is always great. And I just want to comment that I think in the province of Alberta, we've had a Speak Out initiative, and it seems like that is working well with the students actually responding back to the ministry. So we might want to consider looking at that initiative, and maybe there's a way that our board could capitalize on that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Trustee Cleary. Trustee Spencer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to comment on the eighth item on our agenda, the information report on the new school rules required to meet anticipated student enrollment in new neighborhoods. And it certainly is sobering to see the numbers that would be required if the city continues to grow with the current pattern. I believe just doing a quick calculation here, we're talking about 20 schools over 20 years, and that the estimated cost for a school in today's dollars is $20 million. So that is a total of $400 million over the next 20 years. And when we calculate the costs of the way we're growing, it's, I think it's important for us to bring that forward as trustees, that in addition to the costs of new roads and new recreation facilities and all the other costs associated with growth in a certain pattern, that the cost of new schools is going to be potentially quite a burden on taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Spencer. Any further trustee comments or questions to these reports? Trustee Hoffman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. A question being that student voices, I think, are very diverse, and that I appreciate that the question was around a student voice or ways to acknowledge a student voice. I appreciate that the information in this report highlights that it's typically students who are academically successful in sociological positions of privilege and female, and that the diversity of voices aren't necessarily heard through these types of formal structures when they're put in place. So I'm wondering if the administration can talk about ways that we currently try to work to acknowledge the diversity of voices in the district, specifically student voices, when we come to making decisions or recommendations, how we can, what we do today, and then maybe upon further reflection, there will be opportunities for us to work in this area for further growth.
Mr. Superintendent.
Thank you. Just for clarification, in terms of, could the trustee please clarify, in relation to what, for in terms of student voice, we try to link any kind of collaborative or cooperative venture whereby we would require student voice to specific purposes, but is there something specifically that the trustee might have in mind that I can be specific?
Sure. I was thinking about when we send out draft policies for feedback and we ask people to identify if they're students or community members or staff, and that sometimes students respond to survey questions, and I'm guessing maybe that those students are typically in the same type of demographic. So I'm wondering if there are other ways that we try to ensure that we hear diverse perspectives when it comes to decisions that we make or programs that we put in place to ensure that the diversity of our student population is heard currently in some way throughout the district. And I don't have a specific example, but that's an example of where I thought we might not have a diverse voice being heard, and I'm wondering if there are some examples of areas where we're doing the opposite.
Mr. Superintendent.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, at the district level, we would have no way of tracking what when someone identifies themselves as a parent or a student. We don't track and ask specific demographic information related to their ethnicity, first language, or those kinds of questions. So we really don't know in relation to policy development the range of diversity that people respond. What I can say, though, at local levels within schools, with the work of our schools in the area of student government, that schools are doing a lot of work to ensure that There is a wide range of representation of students that that it would be reflective of the student population in as wide a range as possible. And so I think the local responses and efforts around the involvement of students in issues that affect them, I think our schools are to varying degrees, are certainly trying to make the authentic experiences for students as realistic as possible. And that speaks to the items 2 and 3. Certainly, we have seen students take on leadership roles and create opportunities for themselves and others, often at the local or at the school level. And so, Mr. Chairman, that is where we see the greatest range of diversity at this point in time.
Thank you, Mr. Superintendent. Trustee Hoffman.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Thank you, Trustee Hoffman. Trustee Ripley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just I would like to provide an answer as well to Trustee Hoffman, if I may. And that is to remind the board that last year the District Priorities Committee actually, with the help of Communications, asked specifically to engage students in that process, and we asked for sort of two types, quote unquote, of student. We did ask, we suspected that people who might be volunteered by their principals might be the student leaders, and so we asked specifically, we certainly welcome their input, but we also asked for principals to identify students in their schools who might not normally get asked to come, who are, you know, more socially vulnerable perhaps, or on the margins of school society, etc., to come for one session for the district priorities, and that was very successful. Both sessions were wonderful. The students offered some great input to our district priorities, and so it was awesome. Thanks.
Thank you, Trustee Ripley. Anything further? I have a question for clarification. The report on the Student Advisory Committee. When the key point of that the board consider creating student focus groups to provide insight and perspective at the district level, when the reference is made to student focus groups, am I understanding this concept correctly to mean that when specific issues were before the board or the district, then a group of students might be engaged to determine their views on a specific issue or issues, and that these would be focused on these specific issues? This wouldn't be a group that would be appointed and be consulting with the district over the course of the year on a regular basis. Dr. McNabb, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reference to focus groups in the report was a general reference to means of gathering information. So we do have, generically, we can conduct surveys, which we do, and gather student information in that way and some student voice. The notion of a student focus group would be, if we had a particular purpose to ask questions, we could have someone tasked to select students or sample students to some specification, engage them in a recorded conversation, and then use that as a source of information for decision making or for evaluation.
Okay, and if I may ask a supplementary, putting aside our work engaging our students in the creation of our district priorities, mission, and vision statement, how often, let's say in the last year or two, would we have engaged student focus groups on particular matters?
In my experience, rarely. We survey quite often. Mr. Chair, I'm analyzing some surveys right now that have student, parent, and teacher voices in them, including the opportunity for, you know, longer text responses. But the focus group is a time-intensive, energy-intensive, costly endeavor. It really should, in my view as a researcher, be reserved for cases where it's really crucial that we get deeply into some respondents' voices.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. McNair. The I have to say that it was not so much ad hoc conversations that I was seeking to stimulate and support with some examination of our practices in this area, but the actual creation, or at least examining the possibility of creating a committee that would meet regularly with the board and or the administration. And I have found out in the last little while that there is some work going on in this area with our other metro boards. So I would like to ask for a supplementary report to this on our metro boards being consulted with a view of determining what type of student engagement takes place between their student body and the administration and or the board. I think from what I've heard from some other metro trustees, their practices are not captured in this document, so I'd appreciate it if that could come forward as a supplementary report. Any further comments, Trustee?
We may be able to respond partially to that, or we can respond at some point.
Well, if you feel comfortable in responding to that now, Dr. McNabb, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Although I didn't delve into the Metro Board specifically, I did a thorough review of the extant literature. And as to the best of my knowledge, there is no systematic review of any sort of these types of student voice initiatives with boards. It's not a well-researched area in general. The bulk of the research that's available deals with school-level student voice initiatives. We could certainly ask for their opinions, and perhaps they've done an internal review, but the research literature is empty.
And I wasn't thinking so much of the research, but their actual practices. Mm-hmm. CBE, I'm informed, is a regular student body that advises the administration periodically throughout the year. Calgary Catholic has a student body that meets with the administration and the board. So it's that ongoing regular committee that I'm looking to acquire some information on based upon the practices of our fellow metro boards.
And certainly, Mr. Chair, there'll be information on practices, but likely not best practices.
Okay. Well, we'll perhaps create some best practices of our own. Thank you, Dr. McNabb. Any further trustee comments or questions on this? Seeing none, I will call the vote on receiving these reports for information. All those in favor? And that is carried unanimously. Moving on to our second opportunity, 4:30, normally our 5 o'clock opportunity for comments from the public and staff group representatives. I won't read all through this unless we have some speakers. Are there any members of the public or staff groups that would like to comment to the board, take advantage of this opportunity? Seeing none, moving along, and now I believe we're at item 10. We're kind of all over the map today with these time-sensitive items. Item 10 is other community board representative and trustee reports. And this report is on a community meeting, Read the Education Act. I would ask Trustee Ripley to move that this report be received for information. Trustee Ripley.
Very pleased to move the report, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Ripley. Are there any trustee comments or questions to this report? Trustee Hoffman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'd like to thank the movers of this report for taking the effort and the initiative to pull this meeting together and share this synopsis. I just wanted to note that in the issue section on the information report where it says that the act is moving to third reading, it's actually, just for our own information, still in the second reading stage, so it was just moved and adjourned on April 28th. We have significant opportunities, as anyone, to do advocacy efforts in terms of proposing amendments, which would take place in second reading and also in the committee stage, should the act come back in its current form. So I just wanted to let us know that we do have ample opportunities to put forward any suggestions that we might have. Also wanted to note that on page 11, under the top answer, where it's noted that around enforcement, around the fact that the question was asked about reporting on bullying and what was going to be done to ensure that that happens, and then the response from the minister was that rather than it being about action, that it's more about a values statement. And I do have concerns about laws becoming value statements as opposed to laws that can be enforced and measured, and particularly if students have this responsibility, what supports are we going to put to ensure that they're safe or that our schools are safe? So this is something that I was curious about, and I'm glad that it's been highlighted in this report, and thank Trustee Ripley for sharing that. And I have nothing for, oh, I do have one further thing, and that's that I'm wondering if meetings like this happen in the future, if maybe those who are hosting the meetings might consider inviting representatives of our staff groups if they haven't already been invited, to ensure that they have an opportunity to engage in what was clearly a very detailed and in-depth discussion. And I thank you for hosting that, Trustee Ripley, and just leave that comment for all trustees to consider inviting representatives of staff groups should we have these opportunities in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trustee Hoffman. Further trustee comments or questions? Well, I would like to add my congratulations to Trustee Ripley and Trustee Jans for an innovative and informative piece of public engagement. I think we could all, as trustees, consider putting together or initiating joint activities like this that would seek to engage a broader segment of our community and parent population in particular. With that, seeing no further trustees in the queue, I will call the vote on receiving this report for information. All those in favor? And that is carried unanimously. Staying with item H, other committee, board representative, and trustee reports, I will call upon the following trustees, our board representatives, and ask if they have any reports from the external committees they serve on, beginning with Trustee Ripley, our representative on the Edmonton Public Schools Foundation Board of Directors, Trustee Ripley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Well, I gave an extensive report last time, which is covered in the minutes from the last meeting. Just to say that Ms. Liz Murray is scheduled to appear in Jasper Place School tomorrow with all those high school students coming from across the city to hear her, and that's thanks to the Edmonton Police Service and the Edmonton Public School Foundation, so it's going to be a great event. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Ripley. Trustee Colburn, the board's representative on the Alberta School Boards Association Board of Directors, we have not had a meeting since our last public board meeting, so I have nothing to report, and our next meeting is scheduled to be in conference call format this Thursday evening. So we'll be having something to report at the next meeting. Trustee Johnner, our ASBA Zone 2-3 representative.
Nothing to report at this time.
Thank you, Trustee Johnner. Trustee Shipka, our alternate on the Public School Boards Association of Alberta Public School Boards Council. Trustee Shipka.
Nothing to report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Trustee Shipka. And Trustee Spencer, our representative on the Children Linkages Committee. Trustee Spencer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The meeting dates have now been established for the coming year, so I'm looking forward to stepping into this role, and pleased also that the meetings will be held right here at the Center for Education.
Thank you, Trustee Spencer. Are there any other committee, board representative, or trustee reports? Seeing none, moving on to item J, trustee and board requests for information. Are there any trustee or board requests for information? Trustee Ripley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. If all things were to remain equal for the 2012-13 school year, for example, student population numbers, number of school sites, et cetera, please provide information on what the budgetary impacts will be of opening Bessie Nichols and Michael A. Strzemdinski schools in September of 2012.
Thank you, Trustee Ripley. Trustee Cleary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could administration provide a class size breakdown of Ward I schools with consideration of the ACOL guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Cleary and Trustee Smansfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Summarize arguments for and against maintaining provincial achievement tests, particularly at the elementary level. What alternatives for assessment and accountability are being considered by Alberta Education?
Thank you, Trustee Spencer. Seeing no other trustee requests for information, moving on to item K, notices of motion. Are there any notices of motion? Trustee Spencer.
Thank you. Be resolved that the board supports Premier Redford's pledge to replace grade 3 provincial achievement tests with more appropriate assessment mechanisms that respect the principles of inclusion, equity, and transformation. The board chair would communicate this decision to the Office of the Premier, the board representatives to the Alberta School Boards Association, and the Public School Boards Association of Alberta would work to persuade these groups to adopt similar positions.
Thank you, Trustee Spencer. Item L, and then we will stop. Next meeting date, Mr. Superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a point of clarification on the last point. The normal procedure for notices of motion would be at the next public board meeting of October 25th at 2 p.m. I will say that for the administration to provide a report summarizing arguments for and against provincial achievement tests, as well as outlining those items, that it will it may in fact be longer than the 2 weeks as part of informing the board in relation to this particular debate. Unless, of course, they are not linked in any way, but I believe that they are, and I just need some clarification in relation to that.
Trustee Spencer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my hope I would be able to defer the motion when it comes forward on October 25th. It's just recognizing that the current political situation is in flux and there may not be time to do that. So in a way, I'm putting this motion on the table defensively so it's there in case we need it. But I am hopeful that it would be able to wait until after we receive more information from the administration.
Okay. Thank you, Trustee Spencer.
Thank you,
Mr. Superintendent. Mr. Superintendent, next meeting date.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next meeting date, October 25th, 2 p.m.
October 25th, 2 p.m. We will now recess for 10 minutes. I would ask people to be back at 4:55. And our video connection is expected to be underway shortly thereafter. So I'd like everyone settled, ready for business at 5 o'clock.